The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on down. Everybody doing okay this morning? That's good. How are you? Have any of y'all seen a movie called Aladdin? You have seen Aladdin? It's a story about a guy that, what does he do? He rubs a lamp, and what comes out of the lamp? A genie comes out of the lamp. And what does the genie do for Aladdin? He gives him three wishes, right? And by the end of the story, with the help of the genie, Aladdin has a lot of money and has the love of a beautiful princess. So wouldn't it be great if you could wish for just anything you wanted to? What would you wish for? What would you, just some crazy wish, what would you wish for? Like, okay, I'd wish for, let's say, just all the money in the world so I could just buy anything I wanted to. How about wishing for I didn't have to go to school anymore? Or I could eat candy with every meal. Well, yes. Always a good wish for as many Bibles as she could get, and that's a good one. But sometimes we wish for things that we just don't really need, don't we? And that's not really good, is it? In the gospel lesson that Pastor Tim just read us, Jesus tells a story about a young man who found out about wishing for things you really shouldn't have. This young man had three wishes. He wanted a lot of money, he wanted to travel and see the world, and he wanted to be his own boss. Now, he got these wishes, but they weren't granted to him by a genie. This young man went to his father and said, "Hey, I want half of whatever's mine. I want all that's mine when you're going to die. I want you to give that to me now, all the money and land and whatever." Now, this made his father very sad, but his father gave him that stuff. So the young man took all his stuff, and he left, and he traveled all over the world. He visited all the places he wanted to and did whatever he wanted to do. And he was happy that no one was there to tell him what to do. Because he had money, he could buy anything he wanted to. And because he had money, he had lots of friends. So that sounds like a pretty happy story, doesn't it, so far? But that's not how this story ends. The young man ran out of all of his property, all of his money. So all his friends left him, and he didn't have anything. So he was so destitute, so desperate, that he went to work for a man that made him feed the pigs. That sounds like a good job. Maybe some of y'all have had to feed pigs. You don't have any animals. Me neither. Well, the young man was so hungry that he would have gladly eaten the food that he was feeding to the pigs. And as he looked at this filthy pig pen, he thought of the mess he'd made out of his life. Now, here I am feeding the pigs. Even my dad's servants at home have more than this. So he said, "You know, maybe I ought to think about going home. And I'd ask Dad, would you take me back and I'd just be your servant? And that would be better than the life I have now." So this man goes back home. Does anybody know what the father does for the son? Is he mad at him? No. Does he treat him like a servant? No. The father is so happy to see the son that he says, "Let's have a party because this son of mine who was lost is now found." So the story really does have a happy ending. And this story is one of many that Jesus told that is called a parable. And a parable is a word we don't use very often, so who knows what a parable is? Gwen?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this story is supposed to teach us a lesson. So let's look at this. So who does the father in the story represent? Who do you think? You're absolutely right. The father in the story represents Jesus or God. And who does the son represent?
Sinners.
Sinners. And who are the sinners? Let's get more specific.
Us.
We are the sinners. We are the sons. I know. Sometimes we make bad choices, just like the young man in our story. We sometimes wish for things that are not good for us. We sometimes don't listen to God or obey what the Bible tells us to do. Sometimes we forget to listen to mom and dad, too. When we act that way, we really make a mess out of our lives. Just like the father in our story, God, our heavenly Father, is always willing to take us back if we will admit that we were wrong and return to him. Because one thing I forgot to say, sometimes I lose my place. When that son was saying what he needed to do, he said, "I will return to my father and tell him that I am sorry for the way I behaved." So God will always take us back, but we have to say that we are sorry. We have to ask for that forgiveness. And when we say we are sorry, we are repenting. And I don't know if any of y'all can remember, or were here last Sunday, Mr. Terry used that word last Sunday, repent. And that is something we need to do when we do something wrong. We need to ask God for his forgiveness that we're sorry. And no matter how many times we say or that we do something bad, we can always ask God for forgiveness, and he will give us a big hug and take us back. So just remember that. Let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we sometimes make bad choices. Thank you for being a loving Father who will always take us back when we come home to you. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our story for today out of the gospel lesson is the parable of the prodigal son. It's one that I imagine just about everybody has heard before. It's probably very familiar to you. It's one of the favorites for many people. For me, I'm always intrigued with this one because of there is so much stuff within this parable as you start to study it and as you dig into it. So if you have a couple of extra hours today, we'll get through it. All right. Really, what I'd like to do is kind of look at the younger son today. But to do that, you got to look at some of the family dynamics and what's going on in this story. Back in those days, large families were a blessing. People wanted large families because children then become a blessing to the family. And in some ways, they would see the salvation of the family through having large children, that this family would continue and survive throughout generations. If you had large families, also the large families then also provided more wealth to that family because the kids would be working as alongside parents and hired hands and whoever else to increase the wealth of that family. And so large families were a blessing, but here in this story we see only two sons. There's only two sons, and we don't see a mother. We don't see a mother in the story. What happened to the mother, I do not know. I can imagine the father, who is a wealthy landowner, I'm sure wanted large family, wanted many children, but had only two. He had an older son, who was the responsible one, and he had the younger son. I can just imagine this younger son, of how he grew up and what he was able to do. This being the last son of his father, he is the baby of the family. I'm sure he could get by with anything. He was the cute one. People, you know, he could wander off or do what he wanted to, and he wouldn't get in trouble. And I imagine sometimes the older son was the one who was sent out to go find him or to watch over him as they were growing up. And then as this younger son starts to grow up, I'm sure he was probably playing a few tricks on the hired hands, but again, he always got by with it. And then as he grew up even more, maybe he wasn't satisfied with just being there on the farm, on the place, so he'd go in the town, find him in taverns, maybe get involved with some of the local young ladies, maybe drink a little bit too much. Maybe the older son had to pull him out of the drunk tank once or twice. And the older son, I know, was probably just fed up with it. Enough. Why am I always taking care of him? Why is he always getting by with everything? Now, I'm sure you've had friends like this. Maybe you're one of them. Who can just get by with anything. I know I had a friend like this when I was in high school, junior high and high school, that... He was always so much fun to be around. Whenever Bubba was around, we had fun. Bubba could cause trouble. He could stir things up, and then he could talk himself out of it. And so a lot of times we would say, Bubba, we're going here today. And so we'd wait around for him to come and wait and wait and wait, and he wouldn't come. And then he'd finally show up so late. But we'd still go have fun. We forgot about how Bubba just showed up late or was irresponsible. We have friends like that. We know what it's like to have these people. And it's kind of somewhat frustrating to us because they can get by with stuff that we cannot. And so this younger son finally grows up and says, I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of this community. I want to get out and see the big, wide world. There's got to be more stuff to do. So he goes to his father and asks for half of his inheritance. It's interesting with the father that the father doesn't put up a fuss. He doesn't say anything to the son necessarily, except he just divides out the property between the two sons and gives the half then to the younger son. Maybe the father was thinking, maybe he will learn some responsibility. Maybe he will not be as lost as I think he may be lost. He gives the younger son the opportunity to go out and learn. But the younger son doesn't do that. He goes out and he parties. You know, I can imagine he goes to France to the finest restaurants. He checks out Spain with the adult beaches. He goes to Germany with the dance halls and the beer. He checks out Italy with all the fine wines. He goes to Russia and drinks all the good fine vodka. He goes down to the Mediterranean and stays at the most luxurious hotels on the island resorts of Greece. And he uses up all his inheritance. He squanders it all. Until he hits rock bottom. He comes to his senses after he hits rock bottom. Because he has no food to eat, the only job he gets is to slop the hogs. And he thinks, my father treats his hired hands much better than this. Maybe it's time for me to go home. Stop there just for a minute and think, what does it take to hit rock bottom? What does it take to change? I've heard that for us to truly want to change, the pain in our life has to be greater than the joy we are getting out of our life, and know that there is joy somewhere else. That pain has to be greater than the joy in order for us to change, to hit rock bottom. And for everybody, the rock bottom is in a different place. Maybe it's just being scolded by your parents. Maybe that's your rock bottom. You turn things around. Maybe it is a slight brush with the law. You turn things around. But then for others, it may be going through a drug overdose and knowing that you just about killed yourself. Or maybe it is going to jail or going to prison to know that this is not the life that I should be leading. Maybe it is hurting somebody so close to you that they do not want to be a part of your life anymore. Maybe it's going through a divorce. Maybe it's your children not wanting to talk to you again. What is the rock bottom? And what causes that rock bottom? Are you able to change? Are you able to come to your senses like this son did? On the other question with that then too is who are the people who have not yet hit rock bottom in your life, but you know that they are at some point, or they're at least headed that way? How can you, say, raise up their rock bottom? How can you change that rock bottom for them so that they can see or come to their senses? And once they do come to their senses, are we ready to welcome them back? Even though they have hurt us, again, this son spent half of the father's wealth. He blew it. But yet the father is still ready to welcome him back in. Are we ready to welcome those people? What about those relationships that are so rocky, they are just about at the rock bottom? Are we willing to change those? Are we willing to change our own lives? Hitting the rock bottom, this young man turned his life around. And that's exactly what repent means, is to turn around and go in the other direction. To turn around and go into the other direction. What's it take for us to turn around back to God? What's it take for us to keep from walking away from God and turning back to Him? Or helping somebody else come back to God? God is always calling us. It's always interesting here in this parable as well then too of the father. This wealthy man in his robes, hiking up his robes and going running down the lane to go greet his son. And I'm sure the hired hands, the slaves, everybody working for him were either shocked or they were laughing to see this wealthy, powerful man running down the road after this son. God comes running. He sends his Holy Spirit to us to raise us up when we hit the bottom, to raise us up when we need that hand. God calls us back to him and he opens us with open arms. But that's not always the case as far as people wanting to turn around. There's still the older son here in this parable. The older son was upset. Half the wealth is gone. The older son has been there all the time. And now it's this son, the same son. It's that same pattern. He can get by with anything. Even using up half the wealth of his father. He can get by with anything. His father's throwing him a party. And he is upset. But his father explains to him, "Everything that I have is yours. And what is most important is the love that he has for his family. The love that father has for his children. God's love is here for us. It is there for those who are not here, those who have wandered away, those who have strayed away. God's love is there and he's waiting with open arms, waiting for us to return. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.